The following you are about to hear may seem strange and bizarre, but it is our intention to bring you only documented truth. So-called modern communism is apparently the same hypocritical and deadly world conspiracy to destroy civilization that was founded by the secret order of the Illuminati. The conspirators thereupon conceived the plan for the future of supplementing the long-established secret conspiracy with an unremitting public campaign for victims among the ignorant of all nations. Has failed to grasp the staggering realities of this conspiracy within the conspiracy. The revolutionary attempt to overthrow all governments and all religions in order to enslave the whole human race under a super one-world government ruled by satanic despotism. Lone voices have been raised to alert the world to the imminent dangers from this satanic conspiracy of the forces of darkness.
This voice is added to the millions around the world who seek the truth and who speak the truth. This is the Iconoclast Report with Carolyn Harris. Prepare to have your paradigm shattered. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the August 15th edition of the Iconoclast Report. I am, of course, your host, Carolyn Harris, and we are continuing with our series, The Constitutional Crisis and the Patriot Paradigm, Part 3. Today, we're going to talk about the United States Constitution itself. Does it actually pertain to us? We're going to talk about its history, the terms within it, the words within it, to whom it applies, and to whom it does not. We will learn why the so-called Patriot Movement is not only irrelevant, but impotent by design. And specifically, you will learn why revering this document and those who wrote it is folly. Now, this will certainly draw the ire of more than a few persons who self-identify as patriots, and no doubt will be considered an attack on those persons, their character, and the document itself. But nothing could be further from the truth. No, there's nothing wrong with loving your homeland, your culture, your people. But the Patriot Movement is just another paradigm, another mind prison, another pigeonhole, a funnel, if you will, to corral like-minded people into a mode of belief and action that is easily recognizable, catalogable, traceable, and trackable, and is not going to change the government nor the people of this nation. It isn't going to get anyone released from prison. It isn't going to get Congress to change bad laws, and it isn't going to return our freedoms or any of these things. Now, these are some hard truths, and it is definitely a bitter pill to swallow. There are some ideas within the Patriot Movement that are truthy. That is, they have some basis in fact, but are not exactly true. It is the goal of this series to help you, dear listeners, to understand not only the prehistory of the United States and that we and all colonies were given over to the Vatican as property in perpetuity, about the Founding Fathers, what the Constitution really and truly means, what it meant then and what it means now. Now, as always, we will define our terms because, again, with words, okay, there are precise and clearly understandable definitions, but those have been changed into terms, legal terms, which have a different and not clearly understandable legal meaning. Now, this is the sticky wicket. When you or I read the Constitution, which I have done many, many times, on its face, it seems very clear. It seems to clearly apply to everyone. However, when one has an understanding of history, real history, not the whitewashed history we're taught in government indoctrination centers, but actual history, the terms and the underlying meanings, well, it all becomes entirely different. Now, we're going to cite some documents today, and you are welcome to read along. We'll be right back on the other side of this really quick break. Stay tuned, everybody. A
the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.org or Broadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
There's something else going on here, and they haven't told you the whole story. You are the spot in your brain, so they give your body to the brain in Switzerland. So your body now becomes part of the corporation for your major state, because you are a moneymaker.
All right, welcome back, everybody. As always, we cite documents that are included on my website called the New World Order Library, and you can get there by going to www.nwolibrary.com. Click on the NWO Library button. It will open another window, and it is arranged just like a regular library with all kinds of topics and subsections. And you can find pretty much anything that you're looking for in there. Now, again, this is part 3 of the series, Constitutional Crisis in the Patriot Paradigm. And part 1, we talked about the prehistory of the United States of America, and that is really, really interesting. If you missed that episode, I really encourage you to listen to it in the archives, and you can also listen to those on nwolibrary.com. Just click on Icon Class Report, and you will see them. Part 2, we talked about the Founding Fathers and who they were and their affiliations, and that was a really interesting show. A lot of people tuned in for that one, a lot of archive listens on both, and actually all the shows. But this is a really important, very important series. Everyone needs to learn about their country. So last week we talked about something called a capitanem, and that is when the capitalization of a noun makes it have a different meaning than the same noun with a lowercase initial letter, like the word march to march in a marching band, and march with a capital M obviously means the month. Well, this is particularly relevant when you are talking about legal terms. So keep that in mind as we go along. Now, the first document we are going to cite is called So You Wanted to Be a Citizen, So Why Complain? Now, some of these documents are up in the library. They will be in the history section under United States of America. Some of them I did not get a chance to put up there yet. I will do that after the show. This one I got from a website called AgainstTheGrainPress.com. That's ATGPress.com. Now, again, we're going to start by defining some terms. Now, a citizen, okay, is a member of a free city, a jural society, or civitas, possessing all the rights and privileges which can be enjoyed by any person under its constitution and government and subject to the corresponding duties. Citizens, capital C, are members of a community inspired to common goal who, in associated relations, submit themselves to rules of conduct for the promotion of general welfare and conservation of individual as well as collective rights. And that citation is McIntosh, Henry McIntosh, okay? Now, also keep in mind the phrase general welfare. We're going to be discussing that as we go along in the broadcast. That is a very interesting term. You will be quite surprised to find out what that actually means. Now, the term citizen appears to have been used in the Roman government to designate a person who had the freedom of the city and the right to exercise all political and civil privileges of the government. There was also at Rome a partial citizenship, including civil but not political rights. Now, complete citizenship embraced both, and that citation is Thomason versus the State. And that is a selected essays in Anglo-American legal cases. Now, a member of a nation or body politic of the sovereign state, lowercase s, or a political society who owes allegiance, and that citation is Luria versus the United States, and also United States versus Poland. Polson. Another definition is a member of the civil state entitled to all of its privileges. Now, keep in mind, most of these definitions include the word privileges, okay, one of a sovereign people, a constituent member of the sovereignty synonymous with the people. And now this is a lowercase p, and that is from a case called Scott versus Sanford. Now, in American law, a citizen is one who, under the Constitution and laws of the United States or of a particular state, lowercase s, is a member of the political community, owing allegiance and being entitled to the enjoyment of full civil rights. And that case is Amy versus Smith, and also cited Minor versus Happersett. So, now that we have gotten that out of the way, just the general various definitions of the word citizen, we're going to cite a document entitled Citizen versus Citizen. That is, citizen with a capital C versus citizen with a lowercase c. And I will drop that link into the chat room at the Iconoclast Report chat room, and you can get there and interact with all the people there by going to www.nwolibrary.com, click on the chat button, and there you are. So here's the link, everybody. And this is a really interesting document. It says, there is a similar distinction between the words person and individual, which are found in the volume library's list of most frequently misused words. And that library is Published Educators Association, written by Adam Brubaker, PhD, president of the New York State College for Teachers. It says the word individual, quote, should not be used in the mere sense of a person, lowercase p. The word is correctly used in the example, changes in both individuals and communities, end quote. So here we can see that an individual can be considered on the same level as a community, or at least separate from it, while a person is a quote-unquote member of a community and therefore an integral part of it. The maxims, every person is a man, but not every man is a person, and in Latin that is omnis persona est homo, sed non vicissim, and man, homo, is a term of nature, person, or persona of the civil law. Clarify this distinction. In the Latin, that is homo vocabulum est, persona juris civilis. So there you go. Every person is a man, but not every man is a person. And that, of course, is talking about the law. There are several other distinctions that should be well understood when using the word citizen. Quote, the term citizen is distinguishable from resident or inhabitant. One may be a citizen of a state without being an inhabitant, or an inhabitant without being a citizen. And that is from the legal case Quincy versus Duncan, and you can find that in a Black's Law Dictionary 3rd edition. Often the term citizen and voter are confused. A voter is a person who is allowed by law to take part in the government. A citizen is a member of the nation. A citizen, and this is lowercase c, everybody, of the United States is a member of the large society which we call the United States of America. In the United States, the following two quotes I'm going to make are the New American Creed, which was read in Congress April 3rd, 1918. It says, in the United States, not going to be able to get to that one. Up against the break. So quickly, we'll be right back on the other side. Stay tuned, everybody.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. Using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2 month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more, all at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, now. Go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Does ordinary talk radio give you the laws?
This ain't your daddy's talk radio. OracleBroadcasting.com.
The nature of the ultimate revolution with which we are now faced is precisely this, that we are in process of developing a whole series of techniques which will enable the controlling oligarchies that have always existed and presumably always will exist. Let people actually to love their furniture. This is the ultimate in malevolent revolution, shall we say.
Welcome back, everybody. We are talking about citizen with a capital C versus citizen with a lowercase c. And I was about to read before the break two quotes from the New American Creed that was read in Congress April 3rd, 1918. It says, in the United States, citizenship is defined in the 14th Amendment to the Constitution as, quote, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof as are citizens, lowercase c, of the United States and the states wherein they reside. I believe in the United States of America as a government whose just powers are derived from the consent of the government, a democracy in a republic, end quote. Now, think about what that just said. Subject to the jurisdiction of the United States government. And, of course, that is the federal government and not the government of your state, which was kind of in contravention of the whole idea of a republic. Well, we're going to get into that later on also. But, so the United States federal government is a political society existing within the extended jurisdictional authority or dominion of the original republic or republics. The largest portion of the republic's original authority rested in the hands of the individual free men in the realm of his own individual dominion. The authority of the government of the original American republic was merely titular, meaning in name only. There was some limited authority that was vested in the original colonial republics and the state republics following the Declaration of Independence. However, none of the authority of those republics could make laws regulating natural behavior or the exercise of inalienable rights of the free man without consent. Therefore, the United States federal government at its inception, created originally by the state republics, and again, this is not by the individual people, through an agreement called the Constitution of the United States made during a convention of the separate states, had no sovereignty, power, or authority to regulate natural rights. Now here is a quote from, a very interesting quote from a court case, Lansing versus Smith. It says, people of a state, lowercase s, are entitled to all rights which formerly belonged to the king by his prerogative. Now, if you listen to part one of this series, you will remember that the king gave all of his colonies, all of the people in those colonies, all of his wealth, his riches, all of the minerals and rights and the whole shebang-a-bang over to the Vatican, to Pope Innocent III, to be specific, as tribute, because he had been threatened with excommunication and he didn't want to go to H-E double hockey sticks. And so that was his way of buying his way back into heaven. So, yes, we have been sold out. Now, I did read one of the, actually I read several of the communications back and forth between the Pope and the King, verifying and double and triple verifying that, yes, you have given us all of your lands and properties and all this stuff in perpetuity, and that it is binding on your successors, heirs, and assigned. So that is a binding agreement, and no one And that means no one of us, no one in our country, the government of our country, the government of England cannot change that contract that was between the king and the Vatican. So no matter how much we like it or don't like it, guess what? We are owned by the Vatican. So that really was kind of depressing to me, but, you know, there it is. It's hard to look these truths in the face, and some people are really, really pissed off about this, but, you know, it's better to face the truth. So here is another very interesting quote from a court case called Martin versus Waddell. It says, for when the so-called, and this is in parentheses, so-called American Revolution took place, the people of each state, in lowercase s, became themselves sovereign, and in that character hold the absolute right to all their navigable waters and the soils under them for their own common use. Now, this is the very important phrase here, subject only to the rights since surrendered by the Constitution to the general government. So it really doesn't matter what rights any of the individual colonists may have had in their colonies, because if you remember from part one, there were charters granted by the king for each of the colonies, and they were commercial ventures for the king. I mean, he stood to have tribute and taxes from all of the minerals that were mined and all of their production. He got a cut, basically. So for him, and if you remember this also from part one, the treaty that we are all taught in public indoctrination centers that was signed where General Cornwallis supposedly surrendered to the colonists really was no such thing. The king was the one who dictated the terms of that treaty. Now, if you are the loser, you don't really dictate the terms of a treaty, now do you? No. So that tells us, and you can actually read that treaty on the NWO Library. It is in the history section under the United States of America. You can read that for yourself, and I really encourage you to do so with all of its thees, thous, and His Royal Britannic Majesties and all the fancy flowery language, but you can still see what it says. And it is very, very clear that England did not surrender to the United States. The United States of America has never actually been free. We did not win. That is what you would call ye old psyop. And all of us, including myself, have been fooled. I mean, I have to take responsibility. I was all about this for a while, and the more I researched, wow, it was depressing. But you know, it's all about facing facts and citing your sources. And so we will continue on. The original states, finding their limited authority and domain inadequate, vested some of their rights and duties in a separate governmental organization called the United States. Now, today, citizenship, and this is quoting another Supreme Court case, Wallace versus Harmstad, and you can find this in Black's Law Dictionary, 3rd edition, page 95, says, in the United States, it is, quote, a political obligation, end quote, depending not on ownership of land, but on the enjoyment of the protection of government. And it, quote, binds the citizen to the observance of all laws of his sovereign. So, originally, citizenship, okay, did not include the title or sense of subject, but later, citizenships abound the subjects to a sovereign. So, you know, we aren't free, and whether you want to delineate yourself as a large C citizen, really, it really doesn't make any difference. You and I are not party to the contract that the king made with the Vatican, and so we do not have the legal power or authority, or even every single one of us together, even if all of us was band together, we still do not have the legal standing to violate that legal contract between them. And neither, actually, and this is interesting, neither does the Queen. The Queen of England is not able to violate that contract or charter either, because she is bound in perpetuity. Their line is bound. So, but here's the definition of a sovereign, okay? A sovereign is one who exercises supreme power, a supreme ruler, the person having the highest authority in a state as a king, emperor, queen, etc., a monarch. And that's from Webster's Unabridged Dictionary, second edition. Stay tuned, everybody. Much more coming right up.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today." Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Welcome back, everybody. We were just talking about what Webster's Unabridged Dictionary has to say about the definition of a sovereign. Now, Andrew Jackson said in 1833, he said, "Constantly bearing in mind that in entering into society, individuals must give up a share of liberty to preserve the rest." Well, you know, I agree with that to a point. The next document we're going to cite is also on againstthegrainpress.com, and you may be wondering why I am reading so much from these documents. Well, it's because these individuals have done over 30 years of research into this, and I really respect both them and what they have to say, and the fact of what they have found. Because, you know, I've been doing research for over 10 years, almost 15 years now, but, you know, that really doesn't hold a candle to what they've done. I mean, I'm really, really impressed. So that is why I am citing from these gentlemen and their work over there. Now, this one is entitled Citizenship by Treaty. Now, contrary to all beliefs that you, the slave, yes, you, are still in bondage, your citizenship is based on what you say it is totally contrary to what the government says it is. Your citizenship was determined by the Treaty of 1783, the Paris Peace Treaty, and other treaties. Okay, but you can see why the slave slash subject slash serf slash citizen classification of man and woman are not sovereign and never were, even under Roman law. Now, I didn't really like to hear that, but, you know, we must press on. The Treaty of 1783 was violated by both the United States and Britain and required the 1792 Jay Treaty, and of course that refers to John Jay Esquire, which is something we talked about last week, about the Founding Fathers, to compensate for the breach of the contract, which of course is the treaty, and that was also breached by both parties. Even that did not work, and hence the treaties were absolved, and the secret Treaty of Verona came into play as the controlling treaty affecting all of us. So if you have never heard of the secret Treaty of Verona, I am not going to read the entire thing here, but I really encourage you to look it up. It is very interesting, and of course, it involves Jesuits. You know, what did you expect? So that came into play, controlling all of us. So much for believing that you, the man and woman, were ever sovereign, and that you created this godforsaken criminal organization passing into self-office your government. If you can obtain this document, which it is available online, and I will actually put it up in the library later on today, you'll learn a lot about your slavery and why the so-called government wants you to accept citizenship status, and of course that is a lower C citizen, as debtors in possession, having no rights and no claim to any land, as you are all tenants. Well, that is so true. We are not allowed to have what they call allodial title to any lands. Now, of course, allodial title, if you've never heard of that, means that you own it outright. You pay no taxes. You not only own the buildings on top of it, you own the ground, you own everything underneath it, and it is absolutely yours, and it can pass through your family line, and everybody else be damned. Now, the king used to be the only one who could have allodial title, and he would grant his lords and, you know, his peers of the realm, he would grant them some lands, but they did not have the same status as him. And he actually granted some lands to some lords over here in the colonies back in the day. But all of that went away because, as we read earlier, you know, we were allowed to, use the soil, and we were allowed to use the navigable waters, but that's subject only to the rights surrendered by the Constitution to the general government, and of course that means the federal government. And again, if you go back and listen to segment one, you will learn all about the various charters that the king made for the various colonies, and those are really interesting to read because it really puts it in perspective. So, well, let's see what the Treaty of 1783 actually says. Article 3, it says, it is agreed that the people of the United States, and that is, of course, a lowercase p, shall continue to enjoy unmolested the right to take fish of every kind on the Grand Bank and all other banks of Newfoundland and also in the Gulf of St. Lawrence and at all other places in the sea where the inhabitants of both countries used at any time heretofore to fish, and also that the inhabitants of the United States shall have liberty to take fish of every kind on such part of the coast of Newfoundland as British fishermen shall use, and now this is important, but not to dry or cure the same on that island, and also to the on the coast, bays, and creeks of all other of His Britannic Majesty's dominions in America, and that the American fishermen shall have the liberty to dry and cure fish in any of the unsettled bays, harbors, and creeks in Nova Scotia, Magdalen Islands, and Labrador, so long as the same shall remain unsettled. But so soon as the same or either of them shall be settled, it shall not be lawful for the said fishermen to dry or cure fish at such settlement without a previous agreement for that purpose with the inhabitants, proprietors, or possessors of the ground. Now remember, per the charters, the colonists did not possess the ground. And again, the most important phrase here, all other of His Britannic Majesty's dominions in America. And this, again, is the Paris Peace Treaty of 1783, where supposedly the United States won its independence. Now, someone is trying to make a little point, yes, about citizenship was established at the state level. Yes, absolutely. However, that's not exactly what I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about the fact that the king never gave it up. He still possessed land and everything like that, but again, he gave it away. He gave it away to the Vatican. So let's go on to Article 7, and here's the other thing. Again, the United States did not win independence. The loser does not get to dictate the terms of the treaty. Okay, Article 7. There shall be a firm and perpetual peace between His Britannic Majesty and the said states, lowercase s, and between the subjects of one and the citizens, lowercase s, of the other, where all hostilities by both sea and land shall from henceforth cease. All prisoners on both sides shall be set at liberty, and His Britannic Majesty shall with all convenient speed and without causing any destruction or carrying away any Negroes, and interestingly enough, Negroes is capitalized, or other property of the American inhabitants, withdraw all his armies, garrisons, and fleets from said United States, and from every post, place, and harbor within the same, leaving in all fortifications the American artillery that may be therein, and shall also order and cause all archives, records, deeds, and papers belonging to any of the said states or their citizens, both lowercase, which in the course of the war may have fallen into the hands of the officers to be forthwith restored and delivered to the proper states and persons to whom they belong. Now remember, we delineated in the very beginning between individual and person, and we talked about capitanems, which differentiates a noun when it has a completely different legal meaning when it's capitalized than when it is a lowercase. So here we have lowercase s between the subjects of one, the Britannic Empire, and the citizens of the other, the United States, are lowercase. Now, in the charters, it is very interesting because His Britannic Majesty names off several of his loyal subjects, and of course they are capital S because they are peers of the realm. So I hope that you're catching on to the fact that there are some shenanigans afoot here. Okay, the next document is called No Proof, You Say, by James Montgomery, one of the individuals who has done over 30 years of research on the subject. He says the United States is still a British colony and 1787 Constitution does not exist. Now let's look at some facts. He said, I'm not going to deal with the British issue since, of course, we have discussed that on part one of the series. But the salient point today for us is a more recent historical fact, the death of the 1787 Constitution. Number one, the Constitution is a contract or charter between the states, creating a corporation called the United States government. And if you are not reading along with me, I will just let you know here, United is a lowercase u, states is capital S, and that is very that is on purpose, okay? Number two, this contract / charter contains the bylaws of the United States concerning its powers or lack of power. We'll talk more about this charter on the other side. We'll be right back. Stay tuned, everybody.
P
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at PureBulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at PureBulk.com.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. You're using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2 month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Animal Farm Radio Show.
Now, this is the greatest show on radio because Paya is on the show.
I know.
Weeknights from 5 to 7 p.m. Central.
And I have noted to great increasing dismay that a number of the predictions which were purely fantastic when I made them 30 years ago have come true, or seem in process of coming true, that a number of techniques about which I talk seem to be here already, and that there seems to be a general movement in the direction of this kind of ultimate revolution, this method of control by which people can be made to enjoy a state of affairs which, by any decent standard, they ought not to enjoy, the enjoyment of servitude.
Well, what an appropriate quote to start this segment. People can be made to love their servitude. If you have a lie that sounds good enough and you repeat it enough times, people will believe it. And the bigger the lie, the more people will believe it, and especially if you make it sound like it benefits them. And that is what we're talking about today. Okay, right before the break, we were talking about how the Charter, which is the Constitution of the United States of America, was really containing the bylaws of the United States, lowercase u, capital S, concerning the federal government's power or lack of power, and if any part of a contract between the creating parties is broken, it dissolves the contract or charter. So we continue on with a question that someone had asked Mr. Montgomery about the Constitution. He said, by the creation of the 1787 Constitution, a republic was created. The republic in no way was a hindrance to the king in regaining his land via taxation and banking. And someone in the Iconoclast Report chat room pointed out that the lack of allodial title was all about taxation, and that is absolutely correct. Everyone who used the land, who was given a grant to use the land, had to pay taxes to the king, which is, of course, nothing but a tribute. And you can look that up in Black's Law Dictionary and find that that is the actual definition. So that puts a whole new spin on what we pay to our federal government every year, those people who choose to pay taxes. The 1787 Constitution created a 10-mile square district not subject to the restraints of the 1787 Constitution. In 1789, the Judiciary Act was passed by Congress, establishing courts of law compatible with England, so contracts and businesses could continue with England. Now, in 1791, George Washington, who once said no to being the king and who also said he did not want independence from the king, allowed the office of president to become a monarchy outside of the 1787 Constitution when he declared that he was dividing the states into district states. Okay, the district states are subject to the president, and this has never been changed, and this is an incredibly important point. And I know I never heard of this. I had to look this up in several sources because I just couldn't believe my eyes, okay? So in 1791, the Bank of the United States was allowed to be chartered by President George Washington. The bank was financed by the British Board of Trade that was controlled by the Pope and the Rothschild cabal. Big surprise there. The Jay Treaty of 1792 took place, giving away much of what was won in the 1783 Peace Treaty, the Paris Peace Treaty. And again, wasn't won. I take issue with that language. It was conceded by the king. He allowed the colonies to have certain things. We were allowed to take fish from the waters. We were allowed to use the land, but it did not belong to the people, because again, we were still subjects. Okay, the judicial districts were created by the Judiciary Act of 1789, 2 years before George Washington said Congress gave him the additional powers. Thereby, he created the district states so that the federal government could use the militias to crush the tax protesters in Pennsylvania by George Washington's order. Since the judicial districts already existed, why did they recreate them? If the district states were already created, would it not be redundant to create them again? George Washington said he was dividing the United States into district states. He said dividing the states. Now listen to that again. Dividing the states. Not creating districts in the states. Dividing the states into districts. Changing them. Or you would not divide them, because the states were already divided. How can you divide separate states, okay, made by the state and federal charter/constitution? That's a very good question, okay? This was an excuse to divide the states into districts, extending the jurisdiction of the District of Columbia and Congress, and delegating to the president authority given to Congress to suppress insurrection under Article 1, Section 8 of that Constitution. Okay, secondly, the use of... just lost my place there. Something went crazy with the document. There we go. The use of any military power before Congress declares war by direction of the President is done by him as the Commander-in-Chief. Most of us know that. Until Congress declares war, they cannot stop the president unless they impeach him. Or, when they declare war, they can stop the president with their power of the purse. Unless the president were to then declare a national emergency as commander-in-chief, overriding Congress, in effect declaring himself king. Or, in our case, anyone holding that office, which of course we now have. We have been under national emergency for a very, very long time. Now, Mr. Montgomery disagrees with the unconstitutional emergency powers claimed by the president, the current president, or any president, but unless the judiciary declares the president out of line, you or I cannot change this unless you or I were elected president. Of course, we know that is not going to happen. But if we were to be, if we declared that power unconstitutional, but then, of course, Congress would then impeach you or I to protect public policy. Now, notice the word policy. Policy is completely different than law. Think about that for just a minute, okay? But around and around it goes. So he usurped some power that was actually granted to the Congress, and then afterwards Congress gave him the power to divide the states into districts. So, again, why would you need to do that if it was already done? If he already had the power to do that, why would you need to grant him the power to do that? It's because he took it. You know, our beloved George Washington, I cannot tell a lie, chopped down the cherry tree, wood denture-wearing guy. You know, none of them are who we were taught they were. Doesn't mean that they were, you know, devils coming up from the pit of hell, but we need to face the facts. And sometimes it's really kind of crushing sometimes. So Mr. Montgomery continues, again, this power comes from their operating under executive jurisdiction, insular capacity, and you can see that very clearly in the court case Downs versus Bidwell. And that is, of course, a United States Supreme Court case from 1901, which was allowed by the judiciary, beginning with what George Washington did. But because it was up to the judiciary to declare what Congress was doing as unconstitutional, and up to George Washington not to take power delegated to Congress. Well, this power was affirmed by the Congressional Act of 1845 and in the 1850s by the insular cases. Now, of course, this set the stage for President Lincoln to begin the executive orders, and voila, here we are. Well, thirdly, the districts that President Washington created answered directly to the Commander-in-Chief, not Congress. In order for these districts to be created by the President, Congress had to give the President power outside of the Constitution, as declared by Washington himself. Martial law can be used as soon as the military is called upon to put down insurrection or fight a war. Washington created district states, not state districts. And those of you not reading along, I will just let you know, when he says district states, both of those are capitalized. And when we say state districts, those of those are lowercase. And the military occupied the Pennsylvania district, capital D, until the insurgents went home. George Washington said these districts were created for putting down the rebellion. However, and this is very, very, very important, they were never, ever disbanded, even when the rebellion ended. Now, the fact that you can't see something, with all due respect, dear listeners, does not change reality, okay? We will talk about a little bit later the war powers and how they were codified. You can also look up General Order 100, and that is a very interesting document, but a little bit outside of our purview today. We're next going to talk about martial law. Many of us who do research, who listen to various radio stations and read various websites and articles and stuff, well, we hear the words martial law over and over and over again, and it is used nowadays to impart a sense of paralyzing fear. But that doesn't mean that martial law doesn't exist. We'll talk about how it can be invoked on the next side. Hour 2 coming up. We'll be right back.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more, all at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate control flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
As America limps on its lost legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
I wrote 30 years ago a fable of Brave New World, which is essentially the account of a society making use of all the devices at their time available, and some of the devices which I imagine to be possible, making use of them in order to, first of all, standardize the population, to iron out the inconvenient human differences, to create, so to say, mass-produced models of human beings arranged in some kind.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour two of the Iconoclast Report. We are talking about the United States Constitution. This is, if you're just tuning in, part number three of the series, Constitutional Crisis and the Patriot Paradigm. And we're talking about the Constitution and all these very, very interesting ancillary issues surrounding the Constitution. And basically, the question for today is, does it apply to you or I? Did it ever? And right before the beginning of this hour, we were going to get into martial law, military jurisdiction, and military necessity. And this is part of General Order 100. Now, the first section is retaliation. Article 1, a place, district, or county occupied by an enemy stands, in consequence of the occupation, under martial law of the invading or occupying army, whether any proclamation declaring martial law or any public warning to the inhabitants has been issued or not. Martial law is the immediate and direct effect and consequence of occupation or conquest. The presence of a hostile army proclaims its martial law. Article 2, martial law does not cease during the hostile occupation except by special proclamation ordered by the commander-in-chief or by special mention in the treaty of peace concluding the war, when the occupation of a place or territory continues beyond the conclusion of peace as one of the conditions of the same. Article 3, martial law in a hostile country consists of in the suspension by the occupying military authority of criminal and civil law and the domestic administration of government in the occupied place or territory, and in the substitution of military rule and force for the same, as well as the dictation of general laws as far as military necessity requires the suspension, substitution, or dictation. The commander of the forces may proclaim that the administration of all civil and penal law shall continue either wholly in part, as in times of peace, unless otherwise ordered by the military authority. Now, this was entitled Instructions for the Government of Armies of the United States in the Field, prepared by Francis Lieber, originally issued as General Orders No. 100, Adjutant General's Office, 1863. Well, this leads us to the Bill of Rights. All of us, whether you went to public, private, parochial school, we're all taught that the Bill of Rights enumerates our God-given rights, and that they are protected under the Constitution. Okay, well, you know, we all believe that because that's what we were taught, and it makes sense, right? Well, it's not really the case. Unfortunately, I know, I'm sorry, I know this is really bad news, but unfortunately that is part of the fraud. It was never intended for people like you and I and the states. You, of course, like to cite the Constitution and Bill of Rights all the time, little knowing that in doing so you put yourself at their feet groveling as a slave should do. Now, as Lysander Spooner stated, the Constitution was of no authority. Why people have not found out by now, shows how good the fraud has been and how brainwashed the average American and the American patriot, of which I counted myself. I love my country. I love my people. I love my culture. How brainwashed we have been. And again, people, the purpose of this show and this series is to educate you. You know, this was a painful journey for me to make, finding this out. But, you know, that's what happens when you come in contact with something that it conflicts with your paradigm, especially with a paradigm that you really deeply, deeply believe in, that you invest a lot of yourself in, that maybe even as part of your identity. It's very difficult. And a lot of times people react with violent and visceral reaction against anyone who is bringing up information or evidence that conflicts with that paradigm. And you know what? If that makes me the subject or the object of people's ire, well, you know, so be it. I guess that's what I'm here for, is I'm here to shatter your paradigm. So stay tuned.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
The question of how and why the United Nations is the crux of the great conspiracy to destroy the sovereignty of the United States and the enslavement of the American people within a UN one world dictatorship is a complete and unknown mystery to the vast majority of the American people. The reason for this unawareness of the frightening danger to our country and to the entire free world is simple. The masterminds behind this great conspiracy have absolute control of all of our
Welcome back, everybody. I just don't know if I'm going to even be able to get through half of the information I have for you today. And if that's the case, we'll just have to continue on next week. It'll be part five. Well, we're talking about how all of us have been taken in to this fraud that the Bill of Rights applied to you and I. And, you know, I was saying, hey, this is going to piss people off. I'm sorry, you know, it pisses me off too, but I can't really do anything about it. I'm not the one who gave the colonies away. I'm not the one who has broken these charters. So, you know, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you know what? Again, we have to face the facts. So, continuing on with the Bill of Rights is a fraud, part one. So, as to tell you how this will shake the core, your core beliefs of the foundation, I had a paralegal friend here for a visit. I brought up the subject that the Bill of Rights is not his. He immediately reacted, no, it isn't so. Well, I walked to my office and brought out what you can read in part two, which is Bill of Rights is a fraud, part two. After reading maybe five pages, he said, no, it can't be. Let me see the Barron case itself. Now, mind you, he is sharper than most attorneys and other paralegals and did not want to believe what he was reading, so I handed him the Barron case. And I have decided some of that a little bit later on. It has never been overturned to this day. Well, after reading it, he said, why those beep, beep, beep expletives? No wonder why we lose in all cases. And I'm still reading it, and I still find it hard to believe that they would do this. Well, so then when he asked to whom does it apply, I brought out various other certified documents and showed him. Then his core beliefs just had an ice-cold ice pick driven through them, and he was shook up, to say the least. Well, in part two of the Bill of Rights is a fraud, you can find out how they incorporated those Bill of Rights into your life, which gave them more control over you than if they hadn't done a thing. Well, that just makes me mad. Okay, everybody who has had anything to do with the Patriot Paradigm looking into any of this information knows about the 14th Amendment. So it's got to mean something to you, but do you know that only 14th Amendment people can use the Bill of Rights? And when you do invoke any of the original 10 Bill of Rights, you admit to be being covered by this 14th Amendment, and the Ashwater Doctrine will bury you, so beware. You will go into cognitive dissonance, guaranteed, because your core beliefs are going to be shattered, to say the least, and you will not think the same things you have for all your life to this point. Well, if it does sink in, what this criminal government has done to all of us today and all of your family, all the way back to 1776. Yes, I hope this makes you very angry. Well, the Constitution isn't ours, and the people, and we the people, and of course, if you have read the document, you would have noticed that people is capitalized, did not refer to the common man on the street, but rather the aristocracy of Hamilton, Jefferson, Adams, Washington, Jay, and others. Lysander Spooner is another man in the 1800s that had the same sentiments. He too showed that the Constitution was not only not a contract with the people, lowercase p, that means you and I, but none of the signers signed it with any conviction. And it is evident that they only signed in a witness capacity. Check it out for yourself by looking at how they signed the Constitution and bound no one unless they agreed to the terms in the alleged contract called a Constitution that they drafted. Now, the following is from the cases in constitutional law. He had used the John Barron case to prove his point that the common man on the street had nothing to do with creating the Constitution. The majority of people put the Constitution even before the word of Lord Almighty, because they revere it so much that they will say they will defend it. Okay, what they do not know is that the Constitution gives unlimited power to those men who assume the power and jurisdiction over them and offers them no protection whatsoever. The hoopla of the government spin doctors have led the common man to believe that the common man has protections built in to protect him. But nothing could be further from the truth. This is what I want you people all of you listening live and on the streams, in the archives, simulcast, whatever, this is what I want you to take away from this entire series. It was never intended to be for you and I. Okay, that is the lie. The lie is so big that people, even when they're shown directly, will still revert back to the Constitution as if it were God itself. Okay, it's only because of the teachings that they had that were passed down from generation to generation, like myself. That includes me. I love my people, my culture, and my land. So, you know, this applies to me too, but just like the little boy believes and the big lie you tell him for the first 5 to 7 years of his life that there is a Santa, Tooth Fairy, and Easter Bunny. Small lies, but still lies. Well, he won't believe there is none of the above when you tell him. Well, it's much more serious in real life. The lies that have been spoon-fed your relatives all the way back to 1776, and now when we researchers tell you the truth, you still want to believe the big lie like the 5-year-old wants believing Santa. Mr. Montgomery's statement here, and I don't want anybody to take it as I am talking down to you or being condescending. I'm reading his words. He says, I want to point out that what you read is not one word of mine, and that's Mr. Montgomery's, except where I make comments. Okay, this is a slow process to come to the realization that in order to control the people must be made to believe in government lies. Now, please note how the courts, after the John Barton case, Barron case, have changed the meaning so that they can start changing what the genesis of the Constitution was all about. Now, they had to do this to keep the people 10 steps behind in figuring out what Patrick Henry warned it, that the Constitution was a document to enslave the people of America. Now, I have to say I'm a little proud of Patrick Henry. He hails from my home state of Virginia. I am a proud Virginian, even though I do hate the Washington, D.C. area. Not really crazy about the humidity, but I have to say I am proud of Patrick Henry. So Mr. Montgomery starts with the book Direct and Indirect Taxes. Okay, remember, it is what the enemy, the government, which is state and federal, says that is what counts. Okay, sometimes they tell us things in court cases that goes right over our heads. Now, they can't say that we were not warned, okay? And I have talked about this many, many times on many different episodes of the Iconoclast Report that it's all about terms, it's all about definitions, and everything is bound by the principle of consent, okay? We have to read and do our own research. We'll be right back.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skin care, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making their purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website, again, is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that if you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. So using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2 month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Exploring the Matrix of Consciousness with Esoteric Action Radio. Sundays from 9 to 11 p.m. Central Standard Time.
There's something else going on here, and they haven't told you the whole story. You are the spot in the corporate, so they give your body to the bank in Switzerland. So your body now becomes stock for the corporation all you need to pay, because you are a money maker.
Well, that was an interesting quote also. The corporation of the United States, you are a moneymaker, and that is the truth. Now, getting back into this very brutal, unhappy, and disturbing information, we've all been told the big lie, okay? And right before the break, I was talking about the principle of consent, okay? There is that element, but there's also the element that, you know, there are people behind the scenes who revel in the fact that they have dumbed us down, that they have us under their thumb to the point where we don't read, we don't choose to look into anything. And you know what? They are arrogant SOBs. I don't know what word I can say here. I don't know who's simulcasting, but they are arrogant SOBs. And you know what? That's actually to our advantage because they write this stuff down. They actually write down what they're doing to us, what they plan to do. And you know what? It's all there for us to read it if we look for it, if we choose to make the effort to do the research. And of course, I have, as I said, spent about 15 years looking into all kinds of various aspects of these interlocking subjects. And I've read a lot of these books. I have read what they say they're going to do to us. But you know what? It has taken me a long time to find this information. And I don't want anybody else to have to spend so much time doing that. So what I did was I created the library to make it easy for you and anybody that you know, really anybody in the entire world, maybe except China, I don't know, to log into the library, no registration required, open all the time, anytime. You can email the documents to anybody you want, you can save them, you can download them, you can print them, whatever. But I put them there for you to make it easier for you to do the research because you know, we have a responsibility. You know, with a any degree of freedom comes responsibility. And yes, we're learning on this series that we are not free like we thought we were. And I know, I really do know that that is a horrible, very bitter pill to swallow. And it was for me also. But you know, we still do have an element of responsibility. It is up to each and every single one of us to to do our best to educate ourselves. I mean, obviously we're not being educated in public indoctrination centers. I mean, you know, if you have more than two brain cells or maybe even one brain cell, you can see that, and I apologize out there to all the people who are teachers. I realize that, you know, many people get into that profession in order to, you know, in order to help kids. But I'm sure that once you've been a teacher for a while, it becomes pretty obvious to you also. And, but we do have to educate ourselves. And so please, please avail yourself of this resource, the NWO Library, and you can get there by going to www.nwolibrary.com. That's the main site. If you click on the button that says NWO Library or the link, it will open up a new tab or a new window for you, and wham, bam, there you are. I upload documents there all the time. We'll be putting up some more today that I didn't have a chance to put up before the show, and I apologize for that, but they'll get there, they'll get there, and I have so many different subjects in there, and I mean, you can spend hours and hours and days, but don't worry, it's not going anywhere. There are backups and mirrors everywhere. So, let's talk about the Barron versus Baltimore case that has been alluded to several times, okay? In the book called Direct and Indirect Taxes, Chapter 16, the nationalization of the Bill of Rights, the early efforts to extend the Bill of Rights to the states. It's talking about the Barron case. One of the bitter criticisms urged against our federal constitution as it came from the hands of the convention was that it contained no Bill of Rights. It was feared that without specific guarantees of the civil rights and liberties of the people of the state, lowercase s, would be at the mercy of the proposed national government. Ratification was secured, but with a tacit understanding that a Bill of Rights should promptly be added, which should restrict the national government in behalf, or actually should say on behalf of individual liberty. That the early statesmen thought a federal Bill of Rights only in terms of restrictions on national power is emphasized by Hamilton's ingenious argument in The Federalist, number 84, that since the proposed central government was one which possessed only powers delegated to it, it would be not only unnecessary but unwise to prohibit it from doing things which were clearly outside the scope of its delegated authority. When the first Congress convened, the House of Representatives proposed 17 amendments in the nature of a Bill of Rights. One of these, the 14th, provided that, quote, no state should infringe the right of trial by jury in criminal cases, nor the rights of conscience, nor the freedom of speech or of the press. This amendment, which was the only one restricting the powers of the states, was rejected by the Senate. The substance of the others was consolidated into 12 amendments, 10 of which were finally ratified by the states. And those are the 10 and the Bill of Rights, of course, that we all know today. The First Amendment indicates by its own language that it is directed only against the federal government, for it begins, quote, Congress shall make no law. And the other amendments are couched in terms of general prohibition. And in spite of the perfectly clear historical evidence as the intention of those who framed them, it came to be argued that these guarantees of civil liberty ought to be construed as restrictions upon state and federal governments alike. Whether this view is correct is the issue involved in Barron versus Baltimore, the last constitutional decision in which Mr. Chief Justice Marshall participated. And he was very, very famous and issued some very interesting decisions, if you would care to look him up. Chief Justice Marshall, very interesting. And now, this is the gist of the case. While paving its streets, the city of Baltimore had diverted from their natural courses certain streams, with the result that sand and gravel were deposited near Barron's Wharf. The wharf, which had previously enjoyed the deepest water in the harbor, was rendered practically useless, for the deposits prevented the approach of vessels. A verdict of $4,500 for Barron had been reversed by the State Court of Appeals, and a writ of error was taken to the Supreme Court of the United States. It was alleged by Barron that this action on the part of the city constituted a violation of that clause of the Fifth Amendment, which forbids taking private property for public use without just compensation. Of course, that is a in the federal Bill of Rights. He insisted that this amendment, being a guarantee in, on behalf of individual liberty, ought to be construed to restrain the states as well as the national government. Now, while it may seem really boring to some of you out there, gosh, why does she keep citing these boring old cases, guess what? It is critical. This case decided everything. So please, please, listen along. Okay, the decision in Barron versus Baltimore has left an indelible impression on the development of civil rights in this country. While today Barron would have brought his case under the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment, which does restrict the state specifically, the process of change by which parts of the Bill of Rights have come to be applicable to the states has been slow, uncertain, and confusing. While most rights in the Bill of Rights now do apply to the states, they do so only because they are essential to the due process of law. The ruling in the present case, and that's of course Barron versus Baltimore, that the Bill of Rights does not apply directly to the states has never been overruled. Never.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more, all at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The nature of the ultimate revolution with which we are now faced is precisely this, that we are in process of developing a whole series of techniques which will enable the controlling oligarchies that have always existed and presumably always will exist, get people actually to love their church. This seems to me the ultimate in malevolent revolution.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We are talking about the Barron versus Baltimore case and what implication that has for us as Americans, and how that changed everything. It changed it because it's never been overruled. Okay, let me just read Mr. Chief Justice Marshall's opinion of the court. He said, the judgment brought up by this writ of error, having been rendered by the court of a state, capital S, this tribunal can exercise no jurisdiction over it unless it can be shown to come within the provisions of the 25th section of the Judicial Act. The plaintiff in error contends that it comes within that clause in the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution, which inhibits the taking of private property for public use without just compensation. He insists that this amendment, being in favor of the liberty of the citizen, ought to be so construed as to restrain the legislative power of a state, as well as that of the United States. If this proposition is untrue, the court can take no jurisdiction of the cause. The question thus presented is, we think, of great importance, but of not much difficulty. The Constitution was ordained and established by the people of the United States for themselves, for their own government, and not for the individual states. Each state established a constitution for itself. And that constitution provided such limitations and restrictions on the powers of its particular government as its judgment dictated. But it is universally understood, it is a part of history of the day, that the Great Revolution, which established the Constitution of the United States, was not effected without immense opposition. Serious fears were extensively entertained that those powers which the Patriot statesmen, who then watched over the interest of our country, deemed essential to union and to those attainment of those invaluable objects for which the union was sought, might be exercised in a manner dangerous to liberty. In almost every convention by which the Constitution was adopted, amendments to guard against the abuse of power were recommended. These amendments demanded security against the apprehended encroachments of the general government, not against those of local governments. That means your states. In compliance with the sentiment thus generally expressed, to quiet fears thus extensively entertained, amendments were proposed by the required majority in Congress and adopted by the states. These amendments contain no expression indicating an intention to apply them to the state governments. This court cannot so apply them. We are of the opinion that the provision in the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution declaring that private property shall not be taken for public use without just compensation is intended solely as a limitation on the exercise of the power by the government of the United States and is not applicable to the legislation of the states. We are therefore of the opinion that there is no repugnancy between the several acts of the General Assembly of Maryland given in evidence by the defendants at the trial of this cause and the court of that state and the Constitution of the United States. The court, therefore, has no jurisdiction of this case, and it is dismissed. Now, here is the comment. Do you ever wonder why federal judges say, don't bring the Constitution into my court? Well, now you know why. So now we see the progression to hide this fact from the people in the states who had no say whatsoever in drafting and creating the U.S. Constitution by the courts dictating change by their decisions. And nowadays we have a neat little Orwellian title, judicial activism. Okay, but you know, there is something to that. Well, remember also that the Constitution of each of the states was never created or ratified by the common man either. For the same reasons, the U.S. Constitution was never drafted nor ratified by the common man. So why do you all claim that it is your Constitution and your Bill of Rights when it clearly is stated by the court that it is not? Well, all of us have claimed that because we didn't know. We didn't know any better. But again, the whole purpose of this show, this series, is to educate you. Now we know. Now we know better. And you know what? I do realize, everybody, that this is a very large amount of information to cram into 2 hours. So, know, sometimes you have to listen more than one time. And that's why I really, really encourage you to download or read along. Look at the documents that I'm citing. If you have to write them down or open a new window while you're listening, hey, pause it, do whatever you need to do. But save them, read them later, email them to someone else who you think might benefit from it. But please read it. Check me. Check to see if I'm taking something out of context, because you will see that I'm not. So then, of course, there are the slaughterhouse cases. It just goes on and on, people. It really does. So in this next case, please listen and see if you can see the word rights mentioned. Okay, first the government granted privileges, and after they were granted, they became rights under statute, only at the whim of Congress. Okay? Today, that's what's called statutory rights. They are not God-given rights, contrary to what we have all been told. Okay? That is why it was always a privilege to vote, because the original restrictions, having money and property, was the only criteria allowing those to vote. Well, history, of course, has shown that to be true. Well, this left the common man who had no property and money in excess of $100 silver, you know, which was a lot of money back then, who you believe to have drafted the Constitution and Bill of Rights, well, the common man couldn't vote. And, of course, you know, that really sucks. Excuse my French, everybody. Sorry. We're going to talk about the slaughterhouse cases, and this is 16 Wallace 36, if you would like to look it up, from the year 1873. It's all about the Constitution of the state and limiting limitations on national government. Okay, in the years prior to the Civil War, the individual relied almost entirely on the Constitution of the state for the protection of his rights and liberties. The Supreme Court had ruled in Barron versus Baltimore in 1833, which we just talked about, that the Bill of Rights limited only the national government, and with the exception of the Alien and Sedition Acts, Congress had passed no law which anyone seriously believed had violated these limitations. The ordinary citizen looked to the state legislature to protect his person and property from private interference, and to the state Bill of Rights for protection against injury by his state government. Certainly he did not and could not expect the national government to step in and protect him either from his neighbor or from his state government. Boy, that really is contrary to how it is today. You know, if we don't like the way something goes in a court a case in our states, we go all the way up to the state Supreme Court. Well, you know, you didn't decide in my favor, so we're just going to go to the federal government and use a little different argument. At the close of the Civil War, it seemed clear that without the intervention of the federal government, the southern states would, by legislative restrictions, strip the newly freed Negro of most of the ordinary rights and immunities of free citizens. To place the civil rights of the Negro upon a firm basis, Congress, and of course this is the federal Congress, none of the states, proposed the 14th Amendment authorizing the national government to step in and protect the Negro against actions by his own state government. The states were forbidden to take life, liberty, or property without due process of law, or to deny anyone equal protection of the laws. The amendment defined United States citizenship in terms which included the Negro, and the states were forbidden to make laws abridging the privileges and immunities of that citizenship. Now, anyone who is listening, I feel silly that I even have to make this disclaimer, but this is not a racist discussion. I'm talking about history here how it pertains to the slaughterhouse cases, because that is very, very relevant to that case, and how it is relevant to the Civil War and the migration of the constitutions of the states to the federal constitution. Okay. Well, exactly what the framers of the amendment, the 14th Amendment, intended to include in the phrase privileges and immunities of citizens, lowercase c, of the United States, both uppercase, is not altogether clear, and there is evidence to indicate that it was not clear even to the framers. Some apparently believe that the clause would include within its protection those basic rights enjoyed by all persons, lowercase p, such as the right to marry, to own property, to do business, and to move about freely. Others thought that it would include all or part of the protections listed in the Federal Bill of Rights. We're going to talk about the slaughterhouse case in the last segment coming up next. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings you what some don't want you to read today." Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Oracle Broadcasting is 1 year old. Thank you for making our first year a big success.
Welcome back, everybody. Last segment of the Iconoclast Report, part 4 today. Very interesting stuff. We were just talking about how, even the framers of the 14th Amendment had different ideas as to what they actually meant by the language they put in that amendment. Now, the slaughterhouse court cases, the court held that the Privileges and Immunities Clause protected none of those rights, and that was, of course, the right to marry, own property, do business, move about freely, or the bill, any of them enumerated in the Bill of Rights, okay? And from that decision, the court has never retreated. The slaughterhouse cases were the first cases brought under the 14th Amendment, and they had nothing whatsoever to do with the rights of freed men. That means, you know, former slaves. The case arose from a Reconstruction or carpetbag government in Louisiana, unquestionably under corrupt influence, had granted a monopoly of the slaughterhouse businesses to a single person, thus presenting over 1,000 other persons and firms from continuing in that business. The validity of the law was attacked under the 14th Amendment. The case was argued before the Supreme Court twice and was decided by a majority of 5-4. Now, the importance of this case can hardly be overestimated, and that's why I'm ending off on this one. By distinguishing between state citizenship and national citizenship, and emphasizing that the rights and privileges of federal citizenship do not include the protection of ordinary civil liberties such as freedom of speech and press and religion, etc., but only the privileges which one enjoys by virtue of his federal citizenship, the court averted, for the time being at least, the revolution in our constitutional system apparently intended by the framers of the amendment and reserved to the states the responsibility for protecting civil rights generally. Nor has the court been willing to expand the scope of privileges and immunities clause beyond this early limited interpretation. Yes, indeed. So before 5 years before the slaughterhouse cases, the Supreme Court had held void in Crandall versus Nevada, 1868, a state tax on transporting persons out of state, on the ground that such a tax would obstruct the citizen and his inherent federal right to come to the seat of his government. Two members of the court, while concurring in that judgment, held the tax to be a violation of the Commerce Clause. Oh, yes, the magic Commerce Clause. Yeah, so if you are unfamiliar with this term, the Commerce Clause is the magic bullet for the federal government. That is the way they can get around anything and everything. All they have to do is link it to commerce in some way, and wham, bam, that's their gigantic loophole the size of the Milky Way galaxy. And you can imagine how often that has been used and will continue to be used as long as they can continue to do so. And they just will. They just will. So basically, you know, here in the last segment, I'm not going to try to cram any more stuff in. I've only gotten halfway through, so we will continue. we'll continue about the Constitution next week. Because it is so incredibly vital for every single person, and I do believe every single person is a patriot. Now, that is not a derogatory term, as some people have liked to state that I'm using it as. And, you know, I mean, if that's the way somebody wants to take it, well, I mean, that's your choice. But that it is not meant in a derogatory way. We have all been defrauded. We have all been lied to. We have all been sold a bill of goods that is not true. And frankly, I'm mad as hell about it. I, again, you know, I love my country. I love my people, even though they frustrate the living crap out of me sometimes. I do not love my government. My government is not my country. My government is a bunch of criminals who work in the District of Columbia, which is dedicated to the goddess Columbia. It's you know, it's a very Luciferian situation there, which we can go on and talk about on a separate show. But they do not work for us. They have never worked for us. I do not identify with my government. I do not like them. I do not like the people that work there. And I don't have any respect for them whatsoever. When I say a patriot, and then I do believe that everybody's a patriot, I mean, you know, maybe unless you have a lobotomy or I don't know, whatever. When I say that, I'm talking about we love our country. You know, our country is different than our government. And the entire point of the series, again, is to educate people who self-identify with the quote-unquote patriot movement. Now, that is something that I do take issue with because, as some of us know, many of us know, and some of you out there really don't know, all all movements, every single one. Even if you were to start one today, it will be co-opted. And that's just the way it is. And that's because of our wonderful, wonderful federal government. You know, we have 13 different intelligence agencies, people. How many can you name? I can name 5. Most people can name 3, maybe. But what about all those other ones that you don't know the names of? And what are they doing? Okay, the government, the federal government, does not have your best interest at heart, does not have my best interest at heart. They don't even work for who they think they work for. They are basically whores, and I'm sorry. I know this is an all-ages show, and parents, you're just going to have to explain what that means to your children. It means that they sell themselves out. They sell themselves out for Federal Reserve notes, which most of us know are not even real money. They do it for power, or perceived power at least, prestige, for fame, and for a status. You know, but they don't work for us. And again, the taxes that you pay to the federal government go to the Federal Reserve, which is a private bank, okay? And the lion's share of that amount, I might even call it money, but the amount of that goes to England. Oh, yes, yes, it does. The majority of taxes collected by the federal government goes to the Federal Reserve only to pay the interest on the debt the United States government owes to the Federal Reserve for the Federal Reserve telling the federal government to print Federal Reserve notes. And I mean, what a racket is that? But the amount that goes to the Federal Reserve, that goes to Great Britain as tribute, okay? Tribute. Remember, in perpetuity, binding the heirs, successors, and assigns. There is no monarch in England who can get out of that charter. You and I cannot declare it null and void because we're not party to it. And so that is in perpetuity, and all of it has been given away, all the crown colonies, all the other colonies has been given away to the Vatican. So guess what? Great Britain has to pass some of that tribute on as tribute to the Vatican. Oh my gosh, that was a rough show. I mean, I don't know if it was rough for you. Yes, someone in the Iconoclast Report chat room has said sovereign citizen is an oxymoron. Absolutely. And even sovereign individual is an oxymoron, as we defined our terms in the very beginning. Individual means part of a collective. It is a sovereign person. A person is one man. Okay, and of course, man, it means men and women. So, this was a rough show to do. This was a rough ride for me to learn all this stuff. And you know what? It made me really sour. It makes me really cynical. And it makes me really, really angry. And I'm not angry at you, listeners. And I'm not even angry with the people who are angry with me. Because you know what? Be angry. But look it up. Again, you know, check what I'm saying. Look for yourself. You can be angry with me all you want. You can hate me. You can direct your ire and vitriol and venom at me. You know, that's okay. I'm not here to, you know, happy, fun clown time. I'm here to shatter your paradigm. And I'm shattering your paradigms because I'm shattering my own first. You know, I have things that I held very deep and dearly to myself that, whoa, it was hard to face that. Well, we'll be back here next week, same bad time, same bad channel, 12 to 2 Central Standard Time, Oracle Broadcasting Network. Check the archives, nwolibrary.com. Love you. Bye-bye.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival, and tactical gear.
Home and garden and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. Using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com. You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.